We are discussing the five greatest revelations that I've received since becoming a Christian. And revelation number five, which was originally supposed to be number four. Why was it originally supposed to be number four? Boy, I'm stretching y'all on that one. It was going to be number four because I was going to give you all the revelations I had received before starting a church or before being a minister in this capacity, but we went on with number, how God had to become a man because it fit with everything else. All right, so this is called, what is revelation number five? The decision-making process. All right, it's rainy. I know everybody's kind of, you know, let's get going. What's revelation number five? Did I get this directly? And hopefully I won't have to get too many directlys in here. Did I get this directly from God? Does he get all the credit for it? Has he allowed me to get the copyright rights? Yes, but he gets all the credit. So it started out as a pyramid. We're not going to read it because what two words do I have trouble saying? For whatever reason, it's like rocks in my mouth, directly related. So I asked the Lord, that's a song. I asked the Lord, I said, can you give it to me in a simpler form where I can say it with a little bit more precision? So we came up with this sentence that we decided did not require commas. At last week's sermon, I hope you listened to it more than once. I hope you do. James, have you had an opportunity to listen to last week's sermon? Okay, we talked about you quite a bit, pretty much like a dog. Okay, people, same thing, it's the same thing. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make. Let's say that out loud where everybody can hear us. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make. Notice I've emphasized the letter P, the letter I, the letter B, and the letter D. And now this would be an acronym, correct? But this would be an acronym. We watch Jeopardy and we have a hard time figuring out acronyms, homophones, acronyms, anagrams, and we are so good at it because we pause the question. Yeah, and we pause it till we can figure it out. See? Anyway, this is an acronym. P-I-B-D. P is for? I is for? B is for? And D is for? P-I-B-D. We are now in the department of P-I-B-D. Now, last week, I talked about a man by the name of Baker Mayfield. And lo and behold, that rascal went out there and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, which really wasn't that big a deal because the Philadelphia Eagles have quit. You can see when a team's quit and they quit. But Baker Mayfield beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I used him as an example. And I've got the teams in the flow of the teams. I had the teams right. I had one thing wrong. We used him as an example because he started out playing for the Cleveland Browns as the number one draft pick. Then he went to the Los Angeles Rams towards the end of the season and was a backup for them. Then he went to the Carolina Panthers. And then he went and played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they interviewed him about a victory that he had a couple of weeks ago, and his answer was, I'm simply following God's plan for me. So he inferred that God's plan for him was to go from the Cleveland Browns to the LA Rams to the Carolina Panthers and finally to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I propose to you that God had nothing to do with that. I propose to you that he went to those places because people determined that he wasn't good enough and what he's at these different locations. And so he failed to do what? What did he fail to do? Take responsibility. But here's what we want to do with Baker today. We're going to keep using him. I don't know if it'd be a miracle if he's ever on the Life in Christ Church webpage, but we're going to use him today, and we're going to assume, I don't know anything about him, I'm assuming he's probably a born-again Christian. He went to Oklahoma. He went to Oklahoma, and I'm assuming somewhere in Oklahoma somebody preached the gospel to him, because that's where the center of Christianity is, somewhere between Texas and Oklahoma. Can I get an amen? You ever drive in that area and say that, see all those signs that Jesus paid it all? Thank you, Lord. We're going to make the assumption that Baker Mayfield is an evangelical Christian, and we're going to also make the assumption that he's not in some charismatic church or a church that I'm going to give you my background on. So why would Baker Mayfield believe and say on national TV that he's simply following God's plan? Because people in his religious, or I'm not even going to use the word religious. How many of you understand that a lot of people that believe what Baker Mayfield believes are genuine, sincere, saved Christians? Can I get an amen? Are we happy about that? Do we want to take that away from them? If I knock on the door and do door-to-door witnessing, and they say to me, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, am I going to try to beat them over the head and try to get them to believe what I believe? That's why Jehovah's Witnesses are all messed up, because once you knock on my door and I tell you Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you ought to say, glory to God, I'm going to the next house. But they really don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So So in this two-week teaching, I've offended so far Catholics. I was pretty nice to the Baptist, because I agreed that the Baptists have kept the message of salvation going. I was real hard on the Methodist, because they have accepted the concept that you're supposed to embrace all people and love all people. How many of you know I believe you're supposed to love all people? But you also are supposed to tell people the truth. And it's wrong for you to cut off your sexual body parts. It's wrong. It's evil. It's demonic. There's no reason to do it. I can't even imagine. My kids are too big now. And if they asked me to do that now, I'd just horsewhip them. But I can't even imagine watching one of my children go off on a bed to know that they're going to have one of their sexual organs, is that what it's called? Cut off. Can you imagine that? So it doesn't mean we don't love the people. It means we don't like the decision they're making, because it violates God's commands. Just like homosexuality. We don't hate homosexuals. We hate the sin of homosexuality. Amen? And the Methodist Church has got all that purple and all those colors of the rainbow. And so John Wesley's turning over in his grave. Now, he's not really in the grave. He's in heaven, and his heart is broke because of what happened to those dudes. We talked about the Catholics and talked about the fact that praying to the Virgin Mary is a waste of time, that Mary was not immaculate. Joseph was a busy man, it appears to me. He had at least four brothers and sisters, so plural sisters. We don't know. They probably had eight or nine kids. Can you imagine growing up in a house where the Son of God is the oldest child, and he's even living in your house, and you see the things that he's doing because he never sinned? Can you imagine living in a house with eight other brothers and sisters, Jamin, and never sinning? How many you got in your house? How many brothers and sisters you had in your house? Right now you just got one, but how many did you have growing up? They ain't? Okay, son, now listen. You're probably going to get a basketball scholarship. So I'm going to have you speak. How many did you have growing up? Yeah, two. Did you ever sin? Amen. How many did you have growing up? Did you ever sin? Amen. I had three, and I can't stand any of them. No. I hope they're not listening. No, I still love my little sister. Isn't it amazing how you always love the little sister? And you can't stand the older ones. Oh, well, wait a minute. Everybody's got a little story. How'd this fit in? Oh, Mary had children. She was flesh and blood just like us. She's not divine. You don't pray to her. Communion is not receiving that, the literal physical body and blood of Jesus. And then every time you go to the bathroom, you got to start over again. Ridiculous. All right, so Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Jehovah's Witness, and now we're talking about evangelical Christians or Christians like Baker Mayfield. Where did Baker Mayfield get this information? Where did he get it? People. And that guy gave him the information, and that formed his belief system, and that determined the decisions he makes. So he's living his life deciding that he's just following some plan that God has for him, preordained, predetermined, and that God is sovereign. Billions of people believe that. I guess billions. I'd have to say billions, wouldn't you? And let me tell you right now, that's a tough nut to crack. Because no matter what goes on in your life, you can always ultimately blame it on God. Again, are we happy? And I'm going to go ahead and just testify or believe. Am I happy that I believe Baker Mayfield's a Christian? C.J. Stroud of the Houston Texans, the next superstar quarterback in the NFL. Yes, Murray, I'm talking sports again, but you're pretty much caught up on it. He's a born-again Christian. I don't know what he believes as far as this other stuff. Are we happy that these people are acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we want to take that away from them? The only time I ever bring this out is when I'm preaching. Now, sometimes in tax season, I'll run into one of the sovereignties. That's what I call them, sovereignties. And sometimes they'll just go too far with it, and I don't have to stop them and ask them to leave. But on your way out, could you please pay for your tax prep? But generally speaking, I don't get in any fights with anybody. I keep several kinds of books under my desk, and if they say something that's kind of wacky, I'll just go under my desk and say, do me a favor, just read this. See what you think about it. That's all I'll do. I got a whole set out in the office now. Okay? So why does he believe it? That's what people told him. It's the information that he received. It formed his belief system, and it made the decisions that he's making. Now, this has been going on for generations. This is a generational concept. Are you with me? Does it soothe people's conscience? If you're born again and you know you're going to heaven, does it really kind of let you off the hook about living, about life? Can we come to this conclusion? And we're trying to be as honest as we can be. And I'm not going to be able to be one of those ministers that have all this wonderful testimony about seeing people raised from the dead, about seeing people healed, about seeing miraculous things happen necessarily. But can we determine, and we're only talking about Christians now, I'm leaving out the other folk, can we determine that there are multitudes of people that espouse Christianity that are sick? Can we agree with that? Can we agree that there are multitudes of Christians who are depressed? Can we agree with that? Can we agree that there are multitudes of Christians who are afraid? Can we agree that there are multitudes of Christians who are involved in strife, right? Are anxious, are discouraged. And so what sovereignty of God people do is they look at the circumstances. Listen very carefully to this. They look at the circumstances. They see all the sick Christians. They see all the depressed Christians. They see all the anxious Christians. They see all the discouraged Christians. And they determine in their mind, God is almighty. God is omniscient. God is all powerful. And if God wanted to do something about it, surely he would. And so if he's not doing something about it, it must be because he don't want to. This is beautiful, what I'm giving you. And it's emptied out a church building. I'm being totally honest. No hard feelings. God's rewarded me adequately for standing in the gap and teaching this message. But it is absolutely the truth. This is one of the reasons we've had a hard time drawing a crowd, because we pulled the rug out from people and saying, no, listen to me. No, God really didn't want you sick. God really didn't want you depressed. God really didn't want you anxious. Oh, I left out something. God really didn't want you broke. God really didn't want you discouraged. And so they said, but I am sick. I am broke. I am discouraged. I am depressed. So I can't follow what you're saying because I believe that that's somehow part of some plan that God has for me. Can I get an amen? Is there anybody in here that was raised under that theology? Was there anybody? Raise your hand if you were. I mean, you were raised under that. You were. Okay. So this is a hard thing to overcome. Remember last week that I told you that I was a backslidden Christian in Fort Huachuca in 1985, which is the same year that I smoked my last cigarette. I keep wanting to get that in because one day I told them it was 1996, and I'd still probably have nicotine in my lungs if it was just that short a period of time. So I've got all the nicotine out of my system. Amen? That's not everything I got out of my system, but nicotine's gone. So remember I told you that when I came back to the Lord, I decided that I didn't, because I'd come up under the Catholic Charismatic Movement and the Pentecostal Word of Faith, not Pentecostal, but the Charismatic Movement, the Prosperity Word of Faith message. And I decided I was going to go back to church, but I was going to look for something a little less enthusiastic, I think was the word. And when I went to these little less enthusiastic churches, I found out that what Baker Mayfield believed, they believed, and it just caused me to say, no, wait a minute. And another thing that bothered me was I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you in this room have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me just say this out loud. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. How many of you can speak in tongues? All of you that spirit filled, you can. You just don't understand what the deal is. And I'll show you that or help you with that. Just about everybody that hangs here long enough becomes a tongue talker. Most of you are closet tongue talkers. You don't go out and talk in tongues in public very often, but you are tongue talkers, right? So anyway, as a spirit-filled, I was a spirit-filled tongue-talking church, and the other thing that bothered me was these people had no enthusiasm whatsoever. The preacher would preach, and they'd sit there stiff as a board, and every now and then they'd nod their head, and every now and then they'd doze off. And when they played the music, I mean, I guess everybody must have been white, because when they played the music, there was absolutely no rhythm involved whatsoever. You just stood up there and, Amazing Grace, how sweet. How many know that's a wonderful song? But as a spirit-filled Christian, I wanted to do something that seemed to be absolutely evil in most churches. I wanted to lift my hands up to God, like it says in 1 Timothy. I wanted to lift my hands up to God without wrath or doubting. And being a And again, I'm not, all y'all know that, I mean, there's no place for racism based on anybody's skin color. And I only do this to joke because the characteristic of most white people is they can't dance. The characteristic of most white people is they can't jump. They made a movie, White Man Can't Jump. Now, let me tell you, they were wrong about me. I was a quality basketball player, quality. I played with you folks back here, the African-American black folk back here in the Army, and I held my own. I was pretty good. I really was. So I could jump. But anyway, even though I have no, and I was good at basketball, good at baseball, really was. Never could master golf. Just never couldn't get it mastered. I just couldn't. I don't know. And you know why? It's based on rhythm. You have to do the same thing over and over. And for whatever reason, my lower body and my upper body don't know each other. So if dancing was only the lower body, I could get you going. Or if it was just the upper body, I mean, all you got to do if it's the upper body is go. But when your upper body's going like this, your lower body's supposed to be doing something. And so I'm downright embarrassed. I told her, I said, now look, if we go to any function and they ask us to dance, for the love of God, only make it a slow one. I don't want you to be embarrassed by me. Even as a white person that has no rhythm, I didn't mind lifting my hands to heaven without wrath or doubting. And when they played a song that had a little juice to it, it didn't bother me, even though I couldn't clap on rhythm. It didn't bother me to clap a little bit. Clap your hands, all you people, shout of the Lord with the voice of triumph. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go find me a charismatic church. Tracking? Y'all, how many of you know billions of people believe like Baker Mayfield and they got it from somebody, right? So I said, I'm going to go find me a charismatic church. Bless God. And I want to be able to say amen if somebody's preaching good, which meant I hardly ever got to say amen. Follow the line of reasoning. So I went and found me a charismatic church, and boy, did I ever find one, and I won't say the name of it. You'll probably be able to figure it out. I decided I'd go find me a charismatic. I needed to find something. I mean, I got to lift my hands up, and I got to clap a little bit. And these churches didn't really talk that much about the sovereignty of God. You're going to like where I'm going here. They didn't really talk that much about the sovereignty of God. They believed in miracles. Are you listening to me? They believed in praying in tongues. They believed that God could possibly heal people. They believed it. They believed that God could possibly heal people. Are you listening to me? They believed it. But here's what they decided. Okay? Now this group, and I'm just calling it the Baker Mayfield group because we don't really know where he's at, but we're assuming that this group has determined that people are sick, people are broke, people are depressed, people are angry, people are discouraged because that's the way God has supernaturally designed it. You know what I'm saying? And all you got to do is just follow the plan as you go along. You with me? Now, these people believe that, yeah, God is real. The supernatural does occur. Praying in tongues is a real thing. And there's a possibility you can get healed. There's a possibility you can get set free from certain situations. But here was their conclusion. Now listen very carefully. Their conclusion was the only way that was going to happen is if we could get all of our ducks in order. And when we got all of our ducks in order, then God was going to start doing all these wonderful things. And it was amazing he would start doing all these wonderful things specifically mostly at that church. Did you ever notice that? It's always going to be done in that church. So the minister Sunday after Sunday would tell people, we're going to get there. We're going to finally see these things when we all fly right and we all get all of our ducks in order. So I'm out there listening to that, and what was the very first revelation that I got in the five greatest revelations I've received from God? I'm out there listening to that. What's the first revelation I got? I got epistle-itis. Keep that in mind. So their thought process was, I got to get everything lined up. I got to live proper, and when I get to a certain place of holiness and sanctification, then God will just start moving. And, of course, the minister, listen, I'm just going to throw all this at you. You can spit out whatever you don't want to. I'm going to throw it at you, but I'm going to say it anyway. And, of course, the only one in the building that was really close to holy and close to sanctified and closest to living right was the preacher himself. That's a good place for an old me. So we were all waiting for all the ducks to be in order. And then I found out something, or I wanted to tell them something. Guess what? As soon as you think you've got all your ducks in order, here comes another duck a-quacking. One of the biggest problems I have, and I think everybody that's honest will say the same thing, the biggest problem I have is relationships with other people and keeping my heart from disliking somebody. And what I've done, and the Lord taught me this through teaching, but what I've done is that anytime my conscience is telling me to do something relative to a person that's offended me, God has taught me to go ahead and do something about it. Reach out. Don't go to sleep on it. And just recently I had something happen that got me so riled up the other day that, of course, you know, I thought, how many of you know Christianity is hard? How many understand Christianity is hard? How many of you understand that when somebody tells you you got to get all your ducks in order before God's going to move, he's made it impossible for you? Come on, don't shout me down now. I'm going to give you Bible verses. Somebody said, hey, you know all this. I've lived it for 27 years. I've made mistakes for 27 years. I'm a little different than some of these people that have these great testimonies. I'm pretty much in the same pew with you. In fact, we ought to figure a way for me to preach from the pew or the chairs so I don't stand up here like I'm superior to you. I'm no more superior to you than Anna's superior to Jordan. So we're going to get all of our ducks in order, see? That's what we're going to do. We're going to get all of our ducks in order. Here's the problem. I told you. Anytime that I'm having trouble with a relationship, the Lord's taught me that if my conscience tells me I need to do something about it, I reach out and do something about it. And this past week, somebody got me riled up about something that I determined was not my fault. And I try to take responsibility, but I determined it wasn't my fault. But yesterday morning, in the bed, before I woke up, the Lord said, call that guy. Call him. And I called him, and you know what the disagreement turned out to be about? I thought he was receiving my emails. He's a business partner. I thought he was receiving my emails telling him everything that comes in. We sold a building on Fry Boulevard, and we get paid on it every month. And I get a statement from Pioneer Title, and I assumed he was getting the same statement. And so I thought the guy was stupid because he kept calling me on the phone asking for information that gets on that appears on that statement every month. And I was shooting the statement to him every month by email. I called him on the phone, and guess what? He's never gotten one email. So it was a total misunderstanding. If I was in his shoes, I'd be just as mad as I was because he's thinking I'm trying to keep something back from him. I'm thinking he can't add two and two because I'm sending him the statement, and if you can do math, you can figure out what 50% is. We got it all solved yesterday morning. I thought the guy was going to come across that phone and give me a big sloppy kiss. Amen. It got all solved. So I got that duck fixed. Guess what? Something's going to come quacking in that office. Quack, 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 quack. And sure enough, a guy called me. Here we go, Jordy, you like, quack, 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 quack. A guy called me that I'd never heard from since 2004, and I had sold him a term life insurance in 2004 and never heard anything else from him. He had to make a monthly payment for his term life insurance. Here it is, 2024, and it's going to expire next month. Quack, 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 quack. He calls the insurance company. It's a term policy. I won't get into a lot of details. And he finds out that next month that policy runs out and it's worthless. Quack, 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 quack. He calls me on the phone and says, you are an evil, rotten person for selling me that life insurance policy. You shouldn't sell those to anybody. I said, dude, this happened in 2004. I haven't received one phone call from you since then. And you're going to hold me responsible because your term policy ran out. And see, he saw on TV that you can sell your insurance policies, which is all that's, call me before you do anything like that. Call me. It's always a gimmick. But he wanted to blame me because he bought a term insurance policy that he said I shouldn't sold him. Quack. Quack, 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 quack. No, if he didn't die, but if he did die, let me add to the story. Y'all like these stories, don't you? I'm going to get to Bible verses. I'm going to get to them. I am. Guess what we found out? He had never changed the beneficiary, and the beneficiary was going to be his wife that he divorced about 5 years after 2004. So she'd have been the happiest person in the world. My God, he died and he left it all to me. Was that my fault? Is there any possible way we can go back and reconstruct what the conversation was in 2004? Did I have to want to take, and, you know, God bless Christine and Whitney, if they ever told some of the things that I've said in that office. When I hung that phone up, was I, well, first of all, I just told him straight out. I said, see, you don't want to take any responsibility. You want to blame me. And I said, dude, there's no way on earth we can determine what happened in 2004. And he said, well, nobody should ever have a term insurance policy. Yes, a lot of people should have a term insurance policy. They're cheap premiums, and it's only for the benefit of the person that's you may name the beneficiary. It's not for the benefit of you. You don't get nothing. Quack, 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 quack. That old duck showed up right after I got over the other one. And guess what? Tomorrow, some duck's going to come quacking in there. Here's my point. Everybody with me? You're never going to get all your ducks in order. God cannot be determining whether he's healing and saving and delivering based on us having all of our ducks in order, because nobody gets all your ducks lined up. Here's the misunderstanding, and this is why I had to leave that church, and this is why I ultimately had to come and form a ministry called Life in Christ Ministry, because these people, now the sovereignty of God people, that's a tough nut to crack. That's a tough nut to crack. Once you've determined it's all up to God and it's his fault and I'm just going to live it out, you can't hardly crack that nut. But these people don't understand that God has already made us complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not understand that God is a spirit. God is not flesh. Jesus is the only part of the Godhead that has flesh, but he also is a spirit, and he's not here in the flesh physically anymore. Amen. So they don't understand the epistles, and they don't understand that God has already made us holy. God has already made us righteous. God has already delivered us from the power of Satan and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Epistolated. And I'm here to tell you something right now. I'm telling you something right now. I don't believe one in a thousand people know what I just said. I don't even think that percentage works. I swear, I don't believe one in a thousand people understand that there's nothing else God has to do, that he did it all. He cannot wait for man to be able to get right in order for him to do something, because then what Jesus did means it wasn't enough. It had to include us. And you can't include us in anything about God, because God is holy, God is perfect, and in our flesh we are not. Oh, thank God I learned that. Thank God I learned that. And I did it on some level here. You guys, I can't see none of your spirits. I can see every bit of your flesh. Woo. Woo. See what's happening? The guy didn't get it. He didn't understand it. My God, they'd pray every week for people to come in from the north, south, east, and west. They'd pray every week, God send revival. God send all the revival he's going to send. The revival came the minute Jesus Christ went into the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood and obtained an eternal redemption for us. The revival came. You know what the hard job is? We're the ones that's supposed to tell it. You know who knows that? The devil. You know why the devil will let you have all the religion and all the ceremony and all the sovereignty of God and all the better get your ducks up in order? You know why he'll let you have that? You know why he don't care if thousands of people go to those kind of churches? Because they're not going to see anybody changed. They're not going to see anybody different. Because God will not respond to you based on your performance. He will only respond to you based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. So let's give you some Bible verses. What do you think? Praise God. Now listen, I can't make that any plainer. That's the most ability I have to make that plain. And if you're listening to this and you think we have animosity towards you, you're missing the whole point. I love the fact, if Baker Mayfield's a Christian, I love that. I love the fact that C.J. Stroud is a Christian. I just saw where John Harbaugh, who Jordan cannot stand, I just saw that he quoted Chronicles 29:11 after they beat the Houston Texans in front of the media. Did you know that C.J. Stroud, when he was interviewed after the victory over the, they beat the Cleveland Browns, which shock of all shocks. Did you know that when he was interviewed by NBC, the first thing he said was, I want to first of all give all praise and honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you know that the feed that NBC sent out to all the other news outlets cut that out? I'm going to fit this in, Jerry. I got to. I saw where Donald Trump dominated the Iowa caucuses. We got to come to terms with the fact that if they don't get him arrested, and I don't think they are, because we have a Supreme Court that's conservative. And the only other thing, and I don't want to say this, I don't mean to be unkind, but it's true. If they don't get him arrested and they don't kill him, don't gasp, he's going to be the presidential nominee. And we might as well get on board with it, because would you rather have Donald Trump or would you rather have Joseph Biden and Kamala Harris? Everybody understands the point I've made so far? Everybody get it? I saw on MSDNC, I saw where they were just going bananas. They're losing their mind. They know what's happening. They can see the writing on the wall. And you know who they blamed for the victory that Donald Trump got in Iowa? Listen to me now. White Christians. Now listen, I'm going to take it even better than that. I'm going to take it deeper than that. I'm going to say not only white Christians, and when we say white Christians, we mean people that are genuinely, some of them might not even be saved, but they hold to Christian values. And so I'm not just going to make it about one minority. I'm going to tell you that it's white Christians, it's black Christians that are born again. You know, tons and millions of black Christians don't buy into the lie that the Democratic Party has told black people all their life. You know they don't buy into it. Because when you're spirit-filled and you know Jesus, he picks you up from your bootstraps and tells you to get out there and do something. If you don't get out there and do something, we don't owe you nothing. And I want to say to those people, it's because, and I'm not going to say white Christians because it's black Christians, and I'm talking about people that have committed their lives to Jesus. It's not just white Christians. It's not just black Christians. It's not just Asian Christians. It's Christians that have committed their life to Jesus. And you should fall on your face every day, because our country has those type of people in it, because we're the reasons why minorities in Louisville, Kentucky, you can go down by the Ohio River and there's a minority group of people that sit out in their easy chairs and drinks Pabst Blue Ribbon and play around with their cell phone that their government give them, that aren't going to work. And the reason why they're able to do it is because Christians are the ones paying your taxes. You understand that? It's Christians that have kept this country from falling completely and totally apart. It's Christians that's the reason why you can primarily walk around and not think somebody's going to shoot you. Because we believe in the concept that God is the king of the universe. And there's a moral standard we're supposed to live by. And you're not supposed to kill people and hate people and criticize people and lie to people. And most minorities have been lied to. They've been told they can't make it without the government. You can make it without the government. Listen, I'm a redneck from Kentucky. That's almost on the same level as what they want to treat minorities. I'm a redneck from Kentucky that pulled myself up from my bootstraps and got out there and started doing something. I quit listening to my mom and dad that told us we were born losers, that told us that everybody that had the nice houses in Lebanon got it because they cheated, or it wasn't fair because they didn't have it. I quit being a victim, and I decided I'm going to go out and do what God said do and work with my hands and be as honest as I can, or at least half honest. Can I get an amen? Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. The greatest enemy in the world today, and the devil's not even faking it, is Christian people. That's who he's after. That's who he's after, because that's the only thing stopping him from completely allowing immorality to take total control in the world. Can we get an amen, everybody? So these people that believe that you got to get all your ducks in order don't know who they are in Christ. Real quick, I got to give you some verses. First verse, just, listen to this, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're not waiting to get holy. We're not waiting to be without blame. We are holy and we are without blame because we're in him. Not because we're spectacular. Not because we're white. Not because we're a certain denomination. Next verse. Listen, this is not a sermon about husbands and wives, but why not throw this in here? Never hurts to throw it in, does it? Husbands. And you don't leave your husband to join your husband either. Remember that? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Why did he do this? Look at this next verse. Look at this. That he might sanctify. You can't get sanctified by yourself. The ducks are coming. They're quacking ducks. They're quacky ducks. They're wacky ducks. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, us, with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present her to himself. Listen to this. A glorious church. Somebody said, we don't look that glorious. Yes, you do in your spirit. From heaven you look glorious because heaven's not looking at you from your flesh. Heaven's not looking at you from your mind. Heaven's looking at you from your spirit. And Jesus, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, created your spirit in true righteousness and holiness. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Oh, God bless this minister that led this church for years and they idol worshiped him. Every Sunday he'd tell them how awful they were, how unworthy they were, how they weren't measuring up. He never put himself in there. He was a prayer person. And he'd let the congregation meet and then he'd come in the side door and sit at the platform after everybody else has sat in because the prophet of God's coming in. Him and the first lady would take the front row of the seat. And he didn't know a thing in the world about the Bible. God bless him. Good man. Decent guy. Had some great qualities, but didn't know a thing in the world about Scripture. And he'd tell those people, as soon as this church gets to where it's supposed to be, God's going to do something. Y'all see that? Next verse. And you, everybody say you. Who's you? Ever born again Christian, Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud, Francis Wright, Mary Knapp, quite possibly Jordan Browning. And you, I am complete in him. How did I get this information? Osmosis. I was just sitting in the bed one day and God wrote it on a finger on a wall. I read it in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the book. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. The only reason that I can give you scripturally why Jesus hadn't come back is 2 Peter 3:9. It's the only reason I can give you scripturally. It has nothing to do with God waiting for you to be qualified. This is the only reason I can give you from the scriptures why he hadn't come back, and it's based on love. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us. Quack, 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 quack. Not willing. Everybody say not willing. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we get a bunch of ministers that preach like I teach, preach and teach like I teach, we'll get a lot more people bless God, energized and be able to see the power of God manifest. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to sing a song. This will probably put the air out of all of you. It's a 7-minute song, but it's a wonderful song. And let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart as we sing it, and then we'll come back and we'll give it altar call. Does that sound good? See if anybody needs prayer. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If that don't light your candle, your wicks burn out. And you know what? I'm going to say this too. We got the best praise and worship in Sierra Vista. And nobody's going to come off that stage and disagree with one word I said. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jaslyn. See, I got to make 2 points I forgot to make. Put up the Baker Mayfield doctrine, the PIBD. Just put the PIBD up. Do you know that people believe in the sovereignty of God concept, they'll stick around Christianity. They'll stay with it because it provides them an outlet. It provides them a way out. You can always just blame it on somebody or God. But this group that's waiting to get all their ducks in order, I've been around Sierra Vista for 1985. Let's don't do the math. My gosh. Anyway, do you know the people that believe they got to wait for all their ducks to get in order? Those are the people that will fall away. And I could give you a list of people that I've known in Sierra Vista that love God, that were witnessing for God, that were living for God, that fell away. You know why they fell away? Because they realized they could never get all their ducks lined up. And they just quit. Wasn't worth it. Now, what a lot of them people did is headed to Sun Valley Christian Church in Phoenix, because you're under no obligation to just show up, hear a good sermon, have some great praise and worship music, and get back in your car. They don't want to hear all that stuff about, you know, I got to get everything straight. How many of you know you're not going to get everything straight? It's the grace of God that brought salvation. It's the grace of God that brought, I knew people that if you told me they were going to backslide, I'd have laughed at you. And I run into them, and they've completely walked away from God because that don't work. That don't work. That dog doesn't hunt. You got to fall on the mercy of God, and you got to expect God to move because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's stand up on our feet, and let's talk to the people by radio or internet. Now, listen, I don't know what camp you're in. If you're in the sovereignty of God camp, you're wrong. If you're waiting for your ducks to all get lined up, you're wrong. If you've heard what I've said and you believe it, you're right. Amen. I'm speaking the truth in love. And I'm going to come back one more week and deal with this because I'm going to get us in here. Oh, how many will show up for that? I'm going to get all of us that don't believe in the sovereignty of God, that don't believe that we have to get all of our ducks in order, and I'm going to explain to you why we don't always have great testimonies. So come back for that. Come back for that next Sunday. Amen. But if you've been listening by radio or internet, listen to me. Give your life to Jesus. Receive him. Today's the day. God's not willing for you to perish. He's not willing for you to perish. He's long-suffering towards you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to be a member of his family. And he's not going to judge you if you believe in the sovereignty of God. And he's not going to judge you if you believe you got to get all your ducks in order. He's going to love you. If you'll get filled with the Spirit, he's going to then get you into that Bible, and he's hopefully getting revelation to you that shows you he's wanted to do all this stuff all along. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. But you can't get anywhere if you haven't received Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. That makes the world mad as fire because they want to do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. And there is only one way, and Jesus is the way. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard this minister this morning, and I believe in Jesus. I believe that he lived. I believe that he died. And I believe that he rose again. And I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm not. He is. I'm going to allow him access to my life. And I'm going to allow him to increase. And I'm going to decrease in the glorious name of Jesus. Now, if you prayed that and meant that, let me tell you something. You're a child of God. There's been a change take place in your heart. And you desperately need to crawl on your hands and knees and get in a Bible, read the Gospel of John, and then get over to those epistles and stay over there, bless God, till you figure out you're complete and sanctified and holy and just and righteous. Father, we just give you all the glory and honor. I'm praying for everybody that had the courage and the faith to come out in the rain this morning. I'm praying for every one of them in the name of Jesus. All sickness, all disease, all depression, all anxiety was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ so that they could have health and peace and joy and love. And so in the name of Jesus, lift your hands to heaven without wrath or doubting. Every one of you, lift your hands to heaven without wrath or doubting and receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Say, it's mine, I have it now. Amen. Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray, and the church said,
amen.
Amen.